Good morning and welcome to Colourful Radio and to the Africa Centre on this bright Tuesday morning. My name's Kenneth Tharp. I'm director of the Africa Centre, and I'm delighted that we're working in partnership with Colourful Radio and Jabba Talk to bring you today's special interview with Stuart and Caddy Canny Mason. Music is a huge personal passion of mine, and I've followed the Canny Mason's journey with undiluted interest over the last few years. But music has always been very much at the heart of the Africa Centre story for well over 50 years. Our summer festival last year saw roughly 8,000 people attend a street festival with 28 different acts, two music stages and a dance stage. And we were delighted that as part of that, four young classical string players from the Chineke Junior Quartet Greystar African Music Stage, an unlikely but very welcome addition to our festival programme. And there is a close connection between the Chineke Orchestra and the Canny Mason family, which I'm sure will come out in the following interview. A really important part of our role at the Africa Centre is to help tell the stories that are less visible. Even the greatest talent needs nurturing and supporting, and it goes without saying that the success of the remarkable Canny Mason siblings would not have happened without the incredible support of their parents. So when Jacqueline and Kofi from Colourful asked if we would consider hosting this interview with Stuart and Caddy, of course, I didn't hesitate for a second. So without further ado, welcome and let me hand over to Jacqueline Malcolm, Stuart and Caddy.
Thank you. Well, thank you all so much. And of course, we are live on Colourful Radio. So if you're listening in right now, thank you for joining us. Thank you for not going anywhere. You would have just heard me for the last hour talking about the fact that we do have Stuart and Caddy Canna Mason with us here live today. But we also have a live audience here on Jabba Talk. So thank you all so much for coming. And I'm looking out at the audience and I'm kind of really actually humbled, but not me. You really should be feeling quite blessed, because I know the caliber of the people in the audience, and I'm thinking, wow, they really kind of turned out. They really turned out for you. Wow. So please, right, before we do anything else, welcome to Colourful Radio, everyone listening in. Welcome to Jabba Talk. This is Jacqueline Malcolm, your host. And let me please introduce to you right now, officially, Stuart and Caddy Canna Mason. Okay, so at the moment, everybody wants to talk to you about parenting. And as soon as I started to tell people that we had Stuart and Caddy coming on, and they're like, oh yeah, well, who, why, what, what's this about? And then I'd explain who your children were. And then everybody wanted to know your story. And that's what fascinates me, because it's not that you have one child and then the other seven are kind of like, well, we're, you know, we're kind of pulling these up, but, you know, look at our one golden child. You've managed to create seven golden children, which therefore it has to be to do with you rather than just them. They are as great as they are, but it's got to be something to do with you. So before we go any further, we're going to play the video so that people can really understand the excellence that we're talking about, because we're not talking about, oh, these guys are really kind of good at this. And no, we're talking about they are leading force at what they do. They are excellent. They are excelling. They are outstanding. I mean, they are phenomenal at what they do. So I'm going to stand and get out of the way. We're going to look at your offspring and what you two have achieved together in your lovemaking. And then we come into, I'm not in trouble for that, Kofi. And then, yes, we're going to watch this video. Please listen as you're listening on air. Thank you. Amazing, right? And we do actually have Marietta with us, one of the children who were playing just then. Do you want to stand and just wave at everyone? Isn't she amazing? She's just 8 years old, right? 9 years old. Wow. Wow. So right now, we're going to have a really quick break. We're going to have some music. Do not go anywhere if you're listening. Please do not go anywhere. We're going to have a little bit of music, have a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking so much more. I've got so many more questions for you guys. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so here we are back. Thank you for sticking around, and thank you for the audience looking so pretty today. Hello. So we are still here with Stuart and Caddy, Canna Mason. Met you for the first time at the Jane Berry Award, and I was observing a lot because I was trying to pick up the courage to go up and ask them to come be on my show. And I was thinking, how do I say this? Because you've got to imagine it was quite a big event and lots of big names there. And I was kind of like, how do I approach them to say, will you be on my show? And it was like, so I observed you a lot. And what I noticed was I was looking at a family. First and foremost, you were just a family who really sincerely loved each other. You were talking about your nightmare, trying to get there, trying to get seven kids arranged to get there at the same time, and your journey in. And there was a moment, a beautiful moment, when you'd been dragged off for photographs and shaking hands and doing all this, and you'd got your awards, and they'd played, and then suddenly the family just gathered, and you stood in a circle, and everything else was going on around you, but and I don't even think you did it consciously, but the family just stood in a circle, and you were all just eating and drinking and laughing and just talking about nothing. Yes, I'm a stalker, weird person. I was like creeping around them. What are they talking? Oh, they're just talking. You know what I mean? It was just like you were so just a family. And I think that is absolutely beautiful. And so that's what was leading to, like, for me, my main question. And then we'll open it up for audience questions. But is it that your children were exceptional and gifted at music, or is it that just through discipline and hard graft they learnt this skill because they grew up in a family that just appreciated music? Where are you on this?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because we started with the oldest one, Isita, and we introduced her to the piano, and she just flew and loved it. She was so happy. So we wanted to give everyone else the same opportunity, and they all followed. And I think it wasn't that we had no agenda, as Stuart said. We didn't think we're going to make them all musicians, but because they loved it and were happy. And Isita said, oh, I want to be a pianist. So we were just honest, and we said, okay, if you want to be a pianist, this is what it takes. There has to be the hard work and the discipline. So I think those two things go together.
Yeah, I do. And I think the other, seeing Isita working, I mean, Isita did say, she said, my sister was at the house one day, I think, and she said, oh, you know, where's the best place to go and do music? And Rhonda, you know, I don't know. And then she said, well, I think maybe the Royal Academy of Music or something.
Right.
And so we looked into that, and then we contacted them, and they said, well, you have to audition. And then we said to her, well, you're going to have to work really hard to get in. And that was really, it was just the first step. You know, this is what you'll have to do. So she worked really hard and amazingly got in. We were thrilled. And then I think, you know, Brimer and Sheku saw that and saw that she was going down on Saturdays. I used to take her down, and, you know, and they then said, well, we would like to go. And Brimer was playing the violin. Sheku had switched from the violin to the cello by then. And they then helped each other, Brimer and Sheku. You know, we'd be lying in bed early on a morning, and 5 a.m, and think, what is that noise? and they'd snuck into a bathroom, and they were listening to each other saying, oh, you know, correcting their music for this audition. So, you know, so I think they sort of helped each other. And I think, so parenting is definitely been a part, but I think if you get it, some aspects right, then the children help each other.
Right.
They helped each other, and Isita helped them. And so that was part of the journey, I think.
So that must be a value that they learned from you, that you help each other as a family.
Well, Caddy's, you know, blowing her drop. Caddy's very, very good at getting the children to support each other and always be, you know, really appreciative of what the others achieve and not be envious and so on. So I think that's definitely something you're very, very good at.
Well, they're naturally not envious of each other, are they? They're not competitive.
Really? Because then that puts them in a different bracket to other children, right? Because every siblings have some kind of rivalry. I mean, us four sisters didn't. I'm looking at my sisters who are here. Eva's from here, from San Diego, and Marva's over there. They're co-producers for Jabba Talk. And so it's like, but there always is some form of sibling rivalry.
I think,
are you saying
us,
they just didn't have it?
Yes, neither of us ever understood that, because I think I always thought that families, they just love each other and support each other. Never occurred to me, and I think it never occurred to them.
That is brilliant.
So
you literally have just never had that moment.
But I think if you get them to really be involved with what each other's doing,
then that innate aspect
kind of gets diminished, I think. You know, and I think, you know, we've always encouraged them to say, look how well Isita's doing, look how well Brimer's doing, look how well Shaker's doing, or Mariatu. And so I think they really want each other to do well.
That is fantastic.
So I think that's been a nice thing.
And that they've understood that all of them could do this. They can all achieve.
Yes.
It's not just for the one person.
Yes, I think the success of one just makes the others think, well, we can do that because we're the same.
So, right.
Yes. Yes.
So how have you been able to now, because their profile is just taken off, but you are still you, and you are still the parents, and you're still living your lives. How have you been able to manage that? So manage their kind of managers and press and all of this that's going on, and being talked about your children and your children being dragged in all different directions, but you're still the parents because most of them are still minors. So how have you managed that to maintain your place as the parents in order to maintain a healthy relationship with them?
I think they come to us as the family for rest, for succor, for just escaping all that. So they still love all being together, and we're just always there, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have a lot of, you know, I mean, we're parents, but it's also having extended family. We have a lot of extended family help. You know,
really?
My sister, your mum, my parents, you know, your sister. So we have a lot, and we also have a lot of people who have supported us along the way. You know, a lot of people. I couldn't mention them all. And I think I mentioned at the JM Barry Awards that we have had a lot of, you know, financial support. You know, I remember we had to pull, you know, two of the children from piano lessons. We said, we can't afford this anymore. So we contacted the teacher and said, we're really sorry, we can't do this. She said, fine. And then she just called back the next day and said, look, I will teach Konya and Jennifer for free.
You know,
we've had, You know, and I could list many more, you know, people who, and so I think you need a bit of luck and support at the right time, really, as well.
And that's all just played in.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you could have one wish for your children, what would that be?
I think all parents want their children to be happy, really. That's probably the main thing. And to be doing something that you love. You know, and I think music is something that you do because you love it. And so if you're able to have a career at it, then it's a wonderful bonus. So for those that, I mean, I don't know if they'll all be musicians, but for those that want to be musicians, then that's great. And if they want to do something else, then that's wonderful too, as long as they're happy.
Yes, and I think the big challenge of coming from a big family where everyone identifies with each other, there has to be a point when you have to become individuals too.
Right.
So they will have individual careers, and that's, I hope that all goes very
well. Also, right,
yes.
Because you'll also have to kind of guide them through that?
Yes, you have to be able to do both, I think.
Right, yes. That is brilliant. And what does your future look like? When they've flown the nest, when they've done their individual thing, when they've all... I know, I'm sorry, I know, you're not ready for that. You'll be having more babies, number 10. Yes. You know what I mean? But no, seriously, what are your two's plans?
Oh, dear. I find it difficult because there are four of them now who are full-time students at the Academy and live in London.
Wow.
And when each one leaves, I have a period of mourning.
Of course,
them to come back. But it's lovely because I see them just flourishing and having a wonderful time and growing up, and that's fantastic. So I've got, the youngest one is 9, so I've got another 9 years.
Yes. You won't be leaving home for a while yet.
Yeah, it feels such a, because if I look back 9 years, you know, so much has happened in the last 9 years. And so, you know, we've got, you know, Aminata and Jennifer all still at home. So,
right.
You know, you can't, I don't believe in wishing years away, really. You know,
yeah, no.
So maybe say what the plans are for this year. That'd be a problem.
So what are your plans for this year? You two, though? Or is it all about the kids? Do you see what I mean? I'm trying to get a balance of, just get the picture of you two. Are your lives now fully 100% just about managing the kids, or has it always been that, and so therefore this is no different? Do you see what I mean? Because you're a doctor, Caddy, and you're a business manager, so you're both very professional, and you both
well,
got
I'm
strong.
I'm a PhD doctor, so not a medical doctor. So
yes,
I was
yes, yes. No,
yeah,
I understand
a
that.
University lecturer. So yeah, so I stopped working a few years ago now.
Oh, and what, so from the children?
Because then
you start to have children.
The children.
You, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
So. That would be interesting, whether I'll do
go
anything.
Go back into lecturing.
Yeah, so that's a big question mark. At the moment, we're still, it's very much us and the children, isn't it?
I love that.
So. Yeah, we're just a family like any other family. It's just bigger than most. But it's,
yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're just being a family and a husband and wife. And, yeah, that's probably it, really. This
I know. I want to scrape off your happiness. Just, you know what I mean? Like, if you can, like, you know, you go for a kebab and you see them scraping off the cooked part. There's plenty left there for you. Just let me scrape some. No, I think it's absolutely wonderful. So I don't want to take up too much more time because I know there's a few people with questions. So please do get questions ready. Is there anyone ready right now with a question? Yes, we've got David Lawrence at the back. Now, I don't know. David Lawrence, while he's coming forward. Oh, no, he's got a mic right there. But while he's getting ready, David Lawrence, remember that story recently with Ryanair where the man, unfortunately, called the black woman, didn't want to sit next to him on the plane, and then it all became this big thing on Ryanair, and it was all ugly. And remember, somebody had filmed it to talk about it, da da da. David Lawrence was the guy who had filmed it. And so, thank you, David, for filming and capturing that moment. Because had he not filmed it, that would have just been a story, another case of racism that happened on a plane to someone in our community that no one knew about, but because he filmed it, it became an international story that then addressed a subject of racism.
Yeah.
And the subject, the biggest subject of people who are not racist, not realizing they have a prejudice in their thinking. And I think that's where that man came from. He really believes he's not racist. And I think there's a lot to say about that. So, David, anyway, what is your question?
I just wanted a quiet flight home. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, that's all you wanted. Yeah. Didn't get it.
But
your question.
But first of all, congratulations on everything. We are so excited. Now, I have a question. It's quite a big question, okay? Do you know of the Masons in Antigua?
Oscar Mason.
Is it Oscar Mason? Did you call the name Oscar?
Yeah, so
what is your relations to Mr. Oscar Mason?
Well, we're not sure. My dad is Antiguan. His father is Antiguan, but came over from Montserrat. My father doesn't know much about his family in Montserrat. So I think, you know, the sort of Caribbean diaspora makes it difficult for people to always know how they're connected.
Right.
But, you know, when we... The children, the last 3 years, have been going to Antigua on a sort of musical tour where they go around to schools and encourage classical music. And a lot of the Antiguans there say, well, we know Oscar Mason, you must be related.
Yeah.
But we're not sure.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's easier to say yes, because Oscar Mason is such a legend. But I've now started saying, yes, of course we're related to Oscar Mason. but in reality, I don't know. My father doesn't know.
Right, okay. Well, when we saw... Cheku's performance, wonderful performance. My family tweeted, which is around the world, that this family is connected to our family. And I'm the grandson of Oscar Mason.
Wow.
Ah! Then,
lovely to meet you. I'll give you a hug.
I brought a photograph here of Oscar and all of the brothers, my father and... And that's the original family in Antigua.
And they're all playing the music.
All musicians, all... In fact, Oscar Mason, in 1932, built that double bass. Oscar's on the right-hand side there in the white trousers.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so exciting.
And...
Goodness. Yes. That is awesome.
The family... is such a musical family. The roots go very deep and worldwide. The musicians are the original Calypsonians, worked with the Cuban musicians around the world, helped to bring music to America and around the world, which we listen now to house music, and we all know the roots came through all of that, which is percussion based and steel band based and everything else. But you look like a Mason. You look like us.
Okay.
But thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Exciting to meet you this morning.
Okay, so there's going to be a family moment straight after. Gentleman straight in front there. And please do share your name, sir.
Gwyn J. Allen. I'm an architect and musician from Sierra Leone. Yes.
More family.
Well, I can't claim to be a family. But I just wanted to, just a little joke. All the names of your kids, you know, or at least all of them, are Sierra Leonean. So if you say it in the English way, I will say it in the Sierra Leonean proper way. Because, you know, we do pronounce it very wrongly sometimes. Just being cheeky. So.
Okay. So Isata.
Yeah. Isata.
Brima.
Brima. But it goes down. Brima.
Brima.
Mm-hmm.
Sheku.
Yeah. Sheku. And even your name.
You say, Kadiatu.
Ah, yeah. Kadiatu.
Uh-huh. Konya,
yes.
Jeneba.
Jeneba.
Aminata.
Aminata. Uh-huh.
Mariatu.
They're all a fine name. I'm just talking a bit of patois. All the name the way you picking them. They're all fine. You don't understand Creole? Small.
Thank you.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. We're also proud that it's partly Sierra Leone as well. Thanks very much.
I love this.
Thank you.
Now, that is a really good question, actually, because growing up, it's not always easy. I've noticed of late that people are now coming back to their African names or to their originally given names from around the world, because there was a time... It was easier when coming into England to just take on an English name, so it's just easier for everybody. So why did you choose to give your children Sierra Leonean names?
Oh, they're all family names, so it's names from my grandparents, my father's brothers and sisters. He's Sierra Leonean.
Right.
So they're just family names. But I see what you mean, why Sierra Leonean names are
not Antigua.
You know, I'm the father, and so
I had no say.
I had the right to veto certain names, but the names were always going to be Sierra Leonean names.
No, but Brima's middle name is Sean.
Brima's middle name is Sean. I'm named after my cousin who sadly passed away.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. Yeah. So do they all have meanings, or was it just that these were the names that you really, really liked because they were family members?
mostly because they were family members, but some of them are men day versions of Muslim names.
Right. So I said, are you Muslim?
No, my father was born Muslim. His family are Muslim.
Right.
No, we're Catholics.
Are we? Yeah. I think that's what we chose. I love
it. We're
a
really, really mixed family, mixture of Catholics, Muslims,
Anglicans, Methodists.
Nobody cares.
How have you managed to keep the dark out? And what I mean by that is there is so much, you know, you look at young black men and they're being labeled. I had, you know, one of my closest friends was saying, oh, yeah, young black men, they're just so aggressive on the streets. And we got into like a 45-minute argument. And he's a really good friend of mine because I was like, that is so not true. Because he'd said, you know, this statement that, you know, young black men don't know how to respect their elders. And I'm like, that shows me you don't even know our culture, because that is the number one first thing we learn. And the first thing we teach is to respect your elders. So you somehow, you know, they've gone into not just any world of music, they've gone into the classical world of music. And so their representation is already going to be quite low. They've gone in with African names. So again, that's something that's not going to be easy for everyone to understand and accept. They've gone in with their natural hair. And not blonde like mine. I bought yesterday at the shop and I put it on this morning. Thank you. So do you see what I mean though? I mean, you've got shining lights of just natural, beautiful black children who just are so strong in themselves. And that's coming from, I've never spoken to them, but just seeing what they've accomplished, seeing who they are, seeing them together as a family. How have you managed to keep out that darkness and that negativity?
I think it's because of family, an extended family, very important, and lots of trips back to Antigua, very important as well, so they have a sense of where they came from.
That is brilliant.
And also, they went to very normal, comprehensive local school, very, very mixed, so they have a very strong sense of community. I think that's actually very important. I don't think they could have gone off into the world of classical music without a very strong sense of who they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, do you think maybe, how do we teach that though? Did you purposefully go out of your way to make sure that they were exposed to community and extended family in order to, was this intentional to protect them
the
from
the extended
this,
family? Absolutely. I mean, they've had a lot of exposure is the wrong word, but a lot of connection with extended family, with cousins, with uncles and aunts. They've been to Antigua. They've not been to Sierra Leone, but that's just because of the civil war and so on.
Right,
but
right.
And I think that's really, really important. But I think having a strong, but also making sure they realise what it's like to be black. And actually, you know, I've often said to them, you know, things are harder, and you know, and life is not fair, and you're not allowed to do certain things. I think also, you know, I think discipline is important, you know, and they were not allowed to go and hang out in the park. You know, they would ask to do that, the boys. I'd just say no, and they say, why not? I said, because that's just not what we do. You know, and so sometimes you just have to draw the line and say, and of course you're taking a risk, because you don't ever know when you do things whether it'll all turn out wrong. And maybe you never know as parents.
Are they
right?
going to rebel against that
but
thought?
But I think you have to do what you believe and what you learnt from your parents, and hopefully that things turn out right in the end.
Yeah, and it seems to me you were very good at when you said no to something, you actually gave them an alternative. So you didn't just say, no, you're not going to go to the park. Oh, but look at the shiny piano. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, or you can play football in the park, but you're not going to go and hang out.
Yeah,
so if we go to the park, you go and play football with your friends, or you go to the cinema, but you're not allowed to just go and hang out.
Exactly.
Oliver, yes.
Yeah, because suddenly that becomes a bracket, and for a black person, it just means something completely different.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate, which is ridiculous, because we grew up in the parks.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that's all changed now. So, wow, okay, more questions. Anyone else with a question? The audience are very shy today, I see this. Yes. Please do introduce yourself.
I'm Margaret Casely Hayford, and I'm, first of all, just wanted to say thank you, because, and this picks up the point that Jackie made, it's the shining light point. It's the fact that you are together as parents, as quiet black people, that is just so much of an incredible story in itself. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how important that is to all of us, It really is massive. My question is, as the children become more famous, do you have plans about how to keep them grounded? Because one of the really sad things is that one can see what fame does to young people, and in particular, what it does to young black people. Do you have concrete plans about how to keep them grounded?
I think as long as they stay connected with each other, very, very important, because no one's allowed to get above themselves in the family. They'd just be laughed at. So it just doesn't happen. That's the first most important thing. And at the moment, the older four are all together most of the time. And I think that really helps. And I think that's the... And I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I think if they've always got a sense of home, and of course that home will change when they, you know, get married or whatever happens, but I think the home is so important. And they all still love coming back for Christmas. We went on a family holiday, the nine of us, this winter. And I think if we sense that they were drifting away from that, we'd probably have a chat or something. But at the moment, they seem to be very grounded, and so long may it continue. I feel passionately about that.
I think that's wonderful. I think that is the beautiful thing that we can see about you two, which is why we wanted to talk to you. Because you're just, you've got such deep values that I don't think you two even appreciate how deep your values go and how clear it is that you've instilled them onto your children. I mean, they're all so polite. I mean, I spoke to all of them at the event. Every single one looked me in the eye. Which for a young person in their teens or early 20s to actually look me in the eye when I'm talking to them and when they're talking to me, that alone got me. They had me at, oh my God, you're looking at me. Oh my God. You're actually listening to what I'm saying to you. You're not just kind of trying to rush or do or, you know what I mean? And that alone, but I bet you didn't realize you taught them that. Or did you realize you taught them that?
We just expect.
Oh, you just expected it. I love that. I absolutely, absolutely love it. We do. Don't we love them? I mean, oh my gosh. So absolutely proud. So proud of you. Oh, any other questions? Because I don't want to hog the time. Coach, introduce yourself, sir, and then ask your question.
Thank you, madam. Nnamdi Chukwu, big fan of the family. You know that connection with Antigua? Well, I'm that missing link on your grandfather's mother's side. Just joking. No, my question is a little quite serious, because I think you guys are ambassadors. You're an incredible family, an incredible role model for, you know, kind of the antidote to what is being said on the streets about, quote unquote, the black family. But do you see yourselves as ambassadors for that progress into that shrine called classical music? Is that something you've taken on board? Is that something you're willing to embrace at this moment in time? Thank you.
Yes, I think probably. I think the children see themselves as being able to say to everybody, we can do anything. Nothing is closed. I remember, Stuart, you were saying that way back when you were young, they used to say that black men can't play football, they don't have enough discipline, and look how that's changed. I think black people can do anything. And what really upsets me is when people say, oh no, you can't do that, that's not for you. We've had that a lot as they were growing up. Well, you shouldn't have them practicing, that's not for them. It's not something that they should do. And I think they want to show that they can do anything they choose to do. I think that's important.
Yeah, I think this is where parents are so, so key. I remember when I was a young boy and, you know, actually, when I went to primary school, they said, oh, you know, because my sister was doing quite well, and I think I was five or something, and, you know, they brought my parents in and said, Stuart, it's just not, you know, he's not doing very well. And my mum just looked at them and said, don't be ridiculous. My son is a very bright boy and he's going to do very well.
Really?
So I think if parents... you know, hadn't done that, then
yes.
who knows, you know, and so I do think, you know, it comes down to your parents and grandparents and
really
hopefully
is.
That then flows through to generations. And so our children, hopefully, I think some of them feel a responsibility, the others are too young to feel a responsibility, but and I think they bear it well and hopefully they'll continue to do so.
I think so. So Stuart, keep the mic because I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit, because we have Joel over there. He's the Director of Communications for the Africa Centre, and as well as running his own businesses. And then Cade on the videographer here, who is a businessman in his after assists all over the world. And both of these have just had babies. Not them personally, their wives. And a few months. And so they are now fathers for the first time. What three tips would you give these two young men?
Oh, gosh. I think it's always dangerous to give tips to other parents.
Okay.
To any parent.
No.
To these parents.
It would be easy. It would be easy if I said, what would you say to any parent just now? But because they're two young men, I know would actually love to hear something right now.
I don't know. If I think of things that, you know, getting up in the night, sharing the burden at night with young ones, definitely. I think being visible as much as possible, you know, I mean, regardless of how much you're working, but being visible at key events or, you know, with their homework and things like that. And you know, just being what you believe in, you know, especially in the teenage years when it gets a bit difficult, you know, stick to your guns, because in the end, you know, you'll get it right.
Thank you. Caddy, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
I think what Stuart did as a father, actually, which was really important, was to completely believe in his children. He believed that they could do anything. And you were actually stronger than me in that. You were absolutely adamant that they could do anything. That's the first thing. And the other thing, yes, was getting up in the night. Stuart got up with the babies all the time and let me sleep. I never forgot that. just being around and being very loving. Very important. Saying well done, lots of cuddles. You can't give too many cuddles.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, so are there any more questions? Because we are on a schedule because of the show. But is there anyone else? Joel, of course.
Thank you. I'm Joel from the Africa Centre. I think listening to your talking and listening to your received pronunciation, I wonder if there's ever a time that you have to get into patois mode with the kids, like when you, or if there's ever been a time, because by and large, from what I've seen and what I hear, it seems like very kind of cool temperament. I'm just wondering, is there ever a time that it has to raise
the
level?
Yeah.
I think if there's any illusions that we're the Waltons, then that is so wrong. I mean, look, you know, we're a family like any other family, and I think if you heard the arguments we had with the children, they'll be like any other parents, you know, and I can raise my voice very, very loudly, as can Caddy, when the time comes, and I'm sure Mariatta, who's sitting there, will agree with that. It's not always pleasant.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yes, please, Kenneth.
Thank you. I'm Kenneth from the Africa Centre. Listen, I know a little bit about this, about the question I'm going to answer, because I know I saw the BBC documentary about Sheku, and one of the things that I think many people watching that would have noted was that, you know, you as parents were making, I think, 200-mile round trips to London for 10 years just to take your
wow.
talented children to the Royal Academy for music lessons on Saturday. Could you just tell, I mean, that's an incredible commitment. I know
it
that
is.
Getting them all on a weekly basis to the right place at the right time with the right instruments, the music, their bows, etc. I mean, it's like a military operation. Could you just share a little bit more? Because, you know, that kind of commitment is really, I think, what underlies this enormous success we've seen. Could you just share a little bit more with us about that?
Yeah, brilliant.
That challenge and commitment.
Because I assumed you were living in London to do all this, but...
I think... As parents, if you believe in your children and you give them an opportunity, then I think, you know, as parents, you will just do whatever it takes, if you know. And so I think it was never a question. You know, the Royal Academy happened to be in London, and we lived in Nottingham. It was possible to get there for 9 or 10 o'clock. We started. I think I did it for probably the first 5 years, and to the point where Caddy said, "Well, it's silly. You're working in London, and you're also going to London on Saturdays." So then Caddy took over. You've been doing it for probably 6 or 7 years, and I think it's something we believed in, and it was the place where they could get the best tuition that we thought was possible, and so that's why we did that.
And also, you can't expect your children to work hard and pull out all the stops if you don't. So you have to set an example, really.
That's right.
Well, I think you said, if I may say so, I think you set a wonderful example, and I think there have been rounds of applause for other things, but I think that deserves a round of applause.
Just that, right? Absolutely.
Thanks, Kenneth.
Absolutely. Seriously. I want to adopt you. I feel like I've given birth to you myself. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. I mean, such a banner flying over our community and flying over parents, families. You've given so much hope to so many people, especially when we need hope, because kids are out killing kids. There's so much going on the streets. There's so much confusion on what's actually happening and who's really doing it. And so many, it's like I'm starting to work with the University of East London, and so many people are starting to lose direction, lose hope of ever hitting any of their dreams. And so to hear two people, just two people, regular people, because that's what I need to talk to you about. I need to see, are you as regular as you really are? And you really are just regular people with high values, with a set of values that you stuck to, like you're saying, and you've influenced seven people. Put aside the fact that you're children, and God bless you with them, but influence seven people to achieve beyond the norm.